Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and equally amazing lives. Welcome to the show. About 6 or 7 months ago, I announced on the podcast that myself and my family were taking a gap year from business, from work, not unplugging completely, but trying to work only about 20% of the time, focus on our family, take the kids out of school, homeschool them, do a lot of traveling, a lot of intentional, just memory building with our core group as the kids are getting older. And you know, halfway through that, roughly, it's insane to think it's already been 7 months, about roughly halfway through, I want to give you an update on how things are going, as I promised. So I'm going to go over the good. Obviously, there's a lot of good with a gap year like this, the hard parts of it, and just kind of a few reflections and thoughts. But before getting into all the big takeaways, here's a quick overview of what we've been doing. So Gap Year kicked off in June. We were in Montana for the summer. So I feel like a lot of times people will ask, hey, are you, where do you live? Is what a lot of people ask. Is it Montana? Is it Arizona? We have kind of an unusual setup. What we've been doing for a while is we have a home in Montana that we usually rent out during the school year, and we live in Arizona. We used to live in Montana for a long time. We moved down to Arizona about 6 years ago. And so we have a home there that we rent out as a rental, and then we go up for 3 months in the summer and stay there and usually rent it out for 9 months. And then we have a place in Tucson where we spend the year with the kids in school. And so try to do a little bit of back and forth, but have that place rented. This year for the gap year, we aren't renting that place. We're kind of taking the hit financially just to have some more flexibility and be able to, because all of our family is up in Montana, not all of them, most of it. And so we spent the summer in Montana through the fall. And in the fall, about mid-October, late October, we took off for the road and we went to Hawaii, which is purely just recharge. We went to Japan for about 2.5 weeks. We went to the Philippines, partially to see some of the team members, partially to see the country and do some other things. Went to Singapore, just because it's been a place I always wanted to check out. Had the chance to shout out to Ken from dlugs.com. He's an ECF member, a very cool business in the watch and the watch strap space. So if you're into watches or you need a watch strap, dlugs.com, check them out. They make really great stuff. And then back. So on the road for about seven weeks, Christmas time in Montana, and then we'll plan on kind of coming back to Arizona probably in February. So that's kind of the high lay of the land. And the goal, why are we doing this? Might sound silly, but probably not a shocker here. Been doing this a long time, been doing entrepreneurship for a long time. And more than that, our kids are just, it's so cliche. It's really annoying as you get older and all these cliches that are true. I'm not going to repeat them because I just make me sound even older. But I got a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And it's amazing that I only have six years left with my oldest. And so we wanted to be really intentional about making some time to build some very core memories before we needed to really hunker down and give what I think is important to give kids stability through junior and high school. So we pulled them out of school, we homeschooled them, and decided to do this. The goals of, and also from my perspective as well, apart from family time, having time to recharge, to rethink, to pursue things that I've been wanting to do, to fill the tank, so to speak, with the goal of working one day per week. So that's kind of the high level why and where for what we've been doing. The biggest question I get, I don't blame people, is when I see them, is they say, hey, how's the gap year going? And I usually don't want to, just completely unload on them, but I guess that's what I'm going to do here. And it's been, I would say it has been an excellent decision. So glad we've done it, but it's also been mixed. There's been some things that have been harder than I thought. So let's start with the good. We have made some incredible family memories here. I'll tell some stories a little bit later, but just being able to have your core family with, together nonstop, and the stuff that you see and can do and the time you can spend it's pretty rare. So we've made a bunch of incredible memories. Some of them are just hanging out together and having the time to talk and read and do things like that. Other of them are just, crazy adventures. Getting out, and we had all of us went surfing in Hawaii, which was a ton of fun. Even our 6-year-old at the time, we had, got an instructor who was on the back and was able to help him paddle up and stand up. And that was something the kids never done before and they loved. just the international travel, giving kids a chance to understand that. Our kids are very different. One of our daughters, she could have, she's going to turn into just a complete nomad. She could have been on the road for another 2 months, no problem. She loved it. She fell in love with it. She made friends everywhere and just got addicted to the new experiences. One of our other daughters, the first day we were in Tokyo, she doesn't really like crowds. She doesn't like lots of people. And the first day out and about in Tokyo, she was just iron-fisted, gripped to my arm. And I think one of the lessons was that was great about this is it's important to push your kids to do things that they don't want to do. You got to be careful, right? As a parent, you got to have judgment here. By the end of this trip, walking through Singapore in just a crowded place, my daughter, who had previously been just terrified of crowds, was venturing off on her own in the hawker stalls with $8 to go find her own food. And before you report me to CPS here in America, like Singapore is the probably one of, if not the safest countries in the world, and that's pretty common and really safe. But the point being, like, it was a great year for us to push some of our kids in different areas in a way where we saw some meaningful growth. Personally, it gave me a chance to really be able to mellow out to some degree. And more than that, just created some space to think through things. I mean, you probably got a sense if you listened to last week's podcast, thinking about where do I want to take this business? What is important? What do I want to really focus on building the next 10 years? Both from a personal investment side of things and also from a sustainability side of things. And also where's business going? Where's e-commerce going? All these things. Those are big questions. And I think so often we get so caught up in the day-to-day and the hustle and getting things done that we don't have time to sit back and think about these things, which takes some time to percolate, which takes time to work through. So that was wonderful. Even just from a health perspective, we stopped over in Hawaii on the way to Japan. And originally we weren't planning on it, but we realized if you're going to Asia, you pretty much get a free stopover in Hawaii from a fare perspective. And so we booked the two one-way tickets, and it worked out brilliantly. But even just having a week of not working, relaxing. I would never want to stay on a beach for a month plus. I think I would go crazy. There's too many things I enjoy doing and want to learn and grow. But if you never do that, your body, everyone needs rest. Anyway, so that was, I could feel the reset from just a week of getting good sleep and chilling out. This is a random one I didn't fully anticipate, but it surprised me. You buy a lot of less crap on the road. You know, all the little things you think you need that you buy online or you buy from Amazon or and I know I realize I'm saying this to a group of e-commerce sellers, which not to be sacrilegious here, but it is cheaper to do something like this than you think. It definitely wasn't cheaper than normal life, but the meals you're eating on the road, the stuff that you're not having to buy for your house or for, you know, birthday presents for, you know, the if you have kids, the billion birthday parties that you go to. It was refreshing having the simplicity of less things, less schedule, less purchases. That was really nice. And then also it made me realize where in my business I'm essential and where I'm not. And what I found out was I'm a lot less essential than I think, which is a good thing to find out once you get over the ego hit, right? Huge props and thank you to my team who did a phenomenal job of keeping things running, getting moving things forward, and just doing an all-out amazing job. So in general, lots of good, mostly good. And a lot of those I'm guessing you're going to expect. Hey, Andrew here. And a quick aside to introduce you to Sam, the owner of ParkerBaby.com, where they sell baby products. Sam's a great guy, a family-focused entrepreneur, has four kids, and despite running a very meaningful business, carves out time to spend a ton of time with them. It's a very cool way he runs his life and business. And just a quick little snapshot about his experience with e-commerce Fuel, our private vetted community for 7- and 8-figure store owners.
The events have just been a huge value add to me personally and professionally, and certainly for our business. Just being around like-minded people, growth-minded people who go through a lot of the same struggles that we do, and a lot of people who have been through the different phases of business that we are going through now, and kind of using that as an opportunity to get ideas from people who've been through all this.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. but many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their seven or eight figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. Some of the hard things, the lessons so far. So my goal coming out of this was to work one day per week. This has been really difficult, partially due to the fact that it took time. Like the first month, I thought I was going to start working one day a week, and I realized there was a bunch of stuff I had not thought of to streamline. So the first month of the sabbatical really was me working a lot. Months two and three was pretty good, but then months four and a half, I sabotaged myself by putting a bunch of events on the calendar. There was a couple speaking engagements, a couple conferences, and effectively blew up what was supposed to be my sabbatical for 5 to 6 weeks. And even apart from that, it takes a tremendous amount of self-discipline to intentionally pull yourself out of your business and not check things or dive into things or see things that you could improve. And if you have a business, you know there's an infinite number of things you can improve or work on or give feedback to or fires you can put out, however big or small. And I think that has been one of the things that's been hardest for me is having the self-discipline to do that. And for a while, I took email off my phone, which was helpful. For a while, I set in other safeguards that prevented me from doing that. I have an assistant that can kind of help be a gatekeeper for some things. The biggest and best way to do that is just to go to the other side of the world where no one's on the same time zone as you are. That is a huge hack for not, you know, you can still email people, but in terms of being reactive or chatting or diving in, it's more difficult when you're on different time zones. And so, or if you just go offline completely with terrible internet. A little sidebar here for people who like to travel. We're on T-Mobile in the US, and T-Mobile is phenomenal. The last time I did a lot of international traveling was 2011, did a big trip with Annie, my wife. And this is the first time I've been on a big international trip for a while, extended period. And it is such a good time to travel. I'm a little big sidebar here, but I mean, you have, back in the day, you'd have to land in a place, you'd have to go, you know, argue with some SIM card provider and pay for a SIM card and install it. Today, you just land, and at least for T-Mobile, your just internet works right out of the gates. You have Google Translate, which is this, I'm sure most people or many people have used this, but it's just, if you haven't used it regularly, it's just magic. You can hold it up and it changes, apart from just enabling you to speak back and forth with people and translating, it can also do picture translation. So you hold up your phone and look at a sign and it'll translate it into your native language. It is a phenomenally cool time to be able to travel internationally. Anyway, enough of that little positive rant. But yeah, the biggest thing, I think the hardest thing was just having the self-discipline to be able to pull yourself away from this thing that you love and care about so much. I definitely haven't mastered that, but I'm trying to. The other, continuing on the hard parts, homeschooling started out rough. Teachers out there, you all are the best. We need to double pay for all teachers in the world. I mean, these are our kids. I love them more than any other kids in the world. And I love teaching, but it was a challenge both from realizing how much time it takes and then also kind of getting your kids into the habit of being disciplined and enough to do their work without actually physically flogging them. Kids will listen to other teachers much more, I think, readily than they will to you as parents are used to. That has gotten a lot better. I feel like 7 months in, we're finally at a point where they're getting better. They're getting more of that work ethic in to do their things, the focus. We're getting more patient with them, but homeschooling started out rough. So that was a big challenge. One thing that's also a little bit challenging is I think we all have this idea in our brain that if we had more time, we would know three languages. If we had more time, we would be an incredible guitarist. If we had more time, we would volunteer regularly, give 8 pints of blood per year, and write the next War and Peace. And the two big things that I was focused on this year, in terms of skill acquisition for the gap year, I forgot to mention this at the top, was playing more music and learning how to storytell more effectively. And I will say, I have almost utterly failed at both of those. I lost a bet to a friend, which I hate losing. I didn't get stories out on time publicly. The guitar playing did not happen. And I think my takeaway here was, if you think, you know, if you're not prioritizing something that you really want to do now, chances are you're probably not going to prioritize if you have a bunch more time. Maybe time is the issue, But it's, I think we like to trick ourselves into thinking that time is the issue to hit these goals and these development things that we want, that when sometimes you just, maybe you don't want it enough. Maybe you just, you're not using your time well enough now. That was something that surprised me. So overall, incredible 7 months. I can't wait for the next five. For me, the things I'm going to be focusing on are more learning, storytelling, the segment at the end of the podcast every week that I've introduced as part of that, more music, more learning about things and having time to tinker, more time with my family, and trying to get better about not letting work creep into the gap year. I think this is something where I'm trying to set more of a religious schedule, be more disciplined about shipping things, even if they're not perfect. I don't have all the answers here, but that's my other focus for the next second half. And I think, just to wrap up, there's never a good time to take big chunks of time off for this. We've missed things. We've missed family events. The kids' schedule has been interrupted. I don't think any of our kids are going to be, you know, Olympians in terms of the sports that they're interested in because we're taking all this time off and they can't commit to it. There's been things in the business that have, you know, that I have neglected just out of absolute, you know, because there's just not enough time. That being said, it's 100% been worth it. If you're thinking about doing something like this, these are the things that you'll remember, that your family will remember. The money, you know, assuming you don't want to be irresponsible. You don't want to like go, you know, financially imperil your family for something like this. But usually we don't remember the money that we save on things. You remember the experiences deeply. Anything I look back on that I've spent money on for an experience, I almost never regret. And I think it's common knowledge. Intellectually, we know that. But to do it, I think it takes another step. But I would encourage you, if you're thinking about doing something like this, I've heard a lot of people that I've talked to about this say, I wish I could do this. I want to do this. And if you're on the fence, I would strongly recommend doing it, especially if you got kids and especially before they get too old. So all filling in on the second half in the next 5 months, I'm sure it'll fly by, but looking forward to giving you the final report here in a little bit. Forging what matters. Like I mentioned at the top, one of the countries we went to was the Philippines. And we went there for a couple of reasons, partially to visit one of our team members, Cheryl. You may have recognized her name if you're in e-commerce fuel. She's been with me and e-commerce fuel for, 15 years, 16 years. It's pretty wild. And also to visit a children's home, an orphanage that we have been involved with for a number of years. And so we're in the Philippines doing something. And one of my friends texts me. His name is Lucas. And he is probably one of the studliest guys I know. He's, 6'3", wildland firefighter, sharp, funny, strong, well-traveled, just an impressive, interesting guy. And he texts me. He's been all over the Philippines. He went on his honeymoon there with his wife. And he says, you got to try Balut while you're there. He's like, whatever you do, you cannot leave before you try Balut. Had no idea what he's talking about. And so I make the mistake of asking our hosts in the Philippines at the children's home, as we're driving to this place, oh, hey, can you tell me what Balut is? And they kind of light up and they say, oh, Balut, are you interested in trying Balut? And I'm not really sure. And then I Google it. And Balut, if you're not familiar, it's probably one of the gnarliest things, at least if you grow up in the Western world, that you could probably eat. It is a duck egg that has been fertilized and that the duck has grown to, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks of maturity, enough where it oftentimes has feathers, has a beak, it's developed, and then they boil it and serve it as a delicacy. You peel the egg and then you eat it. This did not look enticing or exciting. And I didn't give it a whole lot of thought until the last day when we're having a big party before we leave. They're having this big event. It was a lot of fun. And before we get ready to eat, one of the women, I think the leader of the home, comes over and she says, Andrew, good news. I know you wanted to eat balut, so we got some balut for you. Well, this was not good news. I was not super excited to eat balut, but the stakes were high. The staff of the orphanage had gone and bought this, had specially got balut. Many of the kids were kind of looking on expectantly. And even my son, I mentioned last week, one of our family mottos is bravery. And even my son, you know, is asking me, Aunt, Dad, are you going to eat this balut? And so this is, I feel like this is kind of something I have to do. Backing out here is not a great option. But I really did not want to eat this thing. Again, like I mentioned, there's a beak in there. There's sometimes feathers. It's rough. And so before I could think too much about it, I closed my eyes. This is definitely a wimp factor here, but I figured this will be way easier to get down if I don't have to look at it. So I close my eyes. I start peeling it, making a mess everywhere. And I toss it down the hatch and I get it in. And you know what? The taste is not too bad. It's really not. It actually almost tastes like a good chicken noodle soup. That's before like the texture hits and the crunchiness. And I can't tell if that's a beak or legs or what that is, but I chew and I chew and I chew and I try to get it down and I manage to get it down and I crack my eyes open and the staff is laughing at me. Here's this Westerner who went through mild PTSD getting this thing down. And afterwards, there's high fives all around with the staff, with some of the kids, and especially with my son. He's six. He has been a stud and he grabbed one too and ate it and was brave, except he did it with his eyes open. And ultimately, I was so glad I took the plunge, even if part of it was due to the fact I had some ego on the line. The human brain is designed in such an incredible way where we forget the pain and the uncomfortableness, and yet we hold on to the good memories that come as a result of it. And on the backside, suffering through that shortly, of which now I have forgotten almost all of the hard parts, at least forgotten them from a feeling perspective. I've got this instant connection with anyone from the Philippines. I have a deeper bond with the staff of that home. But most importantly, I've got this story that I can share with my son for the rest of his life. Even though he's six, I would bet heavily he'll remember this until he's well into his adulthood, if not his whole life. Even if he will remind me and be able to hold over my head forever that I had to close my eyes while he was able to keep them open. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life, head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.